just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am, who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God I'm going to be speaking on the family of God today. If you would, turn to Matthew 6, verse 9. Let's get started there. And this is a prayer that Jesus told us to pray. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also forgive you. Now, the first thing we need to see is Jesus brings us into a relationship with God as our Father. Look at that verse 9 in the Christian Standard Bible. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Now, it's also good to keep putting it in our hearts that Jesus is our brother if we practice keeping the words of God. So, and I'm gonna show you that. You know, in the scripture, the Lord tells us, he doesn't say pray to God to do this. He says, pray our Father. See, so he's bringing us into this relationship with him. Now let's look at how he said that we're his brother. Matthew 12:47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands towards his disciples, and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. You know, I can't speak for other people, but I believe that others can relate to this. But I had trouble establishing God as my Father and Jesus my brother, because I was always having some problem with sin or fault in me, and my heart would condemn me. And I had to get over that. I had to see that I was accepted with God when I first came to him, and whatever what condition my heart was in, it didn't matter. You know, I've overcome a lot since my early days. Let me show you this. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now let's read that in the New Life Version. Then Peter said, I can see for sure that God does not respect one person more than another. For he is pleased with any man in any nation who honors him and does what is right. You know, and this is, Peter says this, is when he took the gospel to Cornelius' house, when the gospel went to the Gentiles. So this is what helped me, and I believe this will help a lot of people out there. You can be doing what's right in the sight of God while you're still having all kinds of problems with sin, and you're accepted and pleasing to God because of your faith and obedience. You know, I watched this video, this woman asking this minister if she was saved. And the reason she was asking is because she had this problem with blasphemy coming up in her mouth. And I thank God for this minister. He was trying to convince her, hey, that she was saved. And I didn't hear the whole thing. So, and When we're saved, or we're saved when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're being saved from our sin, we're saved and we're being saved as we continue in the faith. And you know, that's continuing to believe and do what's right in the sight of God. And let me show you another scripture that goes right in line with that. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the seventh chapter of Romans is talking about the slavery of sin and how we get delivered from the body of death through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it goes into the next chapter telling us we don't have to be condemned if we receive Christ and walk after the Spirit of God. And walking after the Spirit of God is just seeking to do what's right in the sight of the Lord, trusting the Spirit of God to lead us. But do you see that you can still have one problem or another with sin and be working righteousness? If you can get a hold of this, this will set you free. You can be practicing to put the Word of God in your life, and then, but the next minute, you're still having trouble with the sin. Or, you know, you go to church, you pray, but you have problems with bad thoughts, or you lose your temper, or you act ugly towards someone, or whatever your sin may be, whatever your bondage. It doesn't matter what it is, but if you're putting the Word of God to practice in your life, that's working righteousness. If you're endeavoring to keep, to walk in the faith, to believe the gospel, you're accepted and you're pleasing to God. And then when you look at verse 2 in Romans 8, it says, if you walk after the Spirit, you're seeking to do what's right in the sight of the Lord, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ will make you free. Okay? So see, this is, if you get an understanding of this is walking, this is God leading you out of bondage. He said in the 25th verse of Romans 7, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Then it goes into the 8th chapter and says, there's no condemnation to you, even though you're still sinning, if you walk after the Spirit. And then the next verse says, you'll get set free walking this way. It's saying the same thing in John 8:31. Let's go there. Go to verse 31. Then said Jesus, those Jews which believed him, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And so here, as we continue the word, continue to work righteous, and we're doing this while we're still being delivered from the body of death, then we'll see in the next verse, we'll be overcoming. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed. See, so when you're walking after the Spirit, even though you're still having problems with sin, you're a disciple. All right? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the Word of God teaches that all of us are under sin. And when you get understanding, you're not going to come out one day. Now, you may have not got bound up with certain sins that you see others in, but we're all under sin. We're all in bondage to some degree or another in sin. And Jesus, in John 8, he's addressing some Jews in bondage sin. And he said to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. See, and it's saying the same thing in Romans 8, 1 and 2. You know, I heard a minister speaking this same scripture to his congregation, and he would say, there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus who walk in the Spirit. And then he would tell their congregation over and over, they didn't walk in the Spirit. Well, first of all, it doesn't say that. It says those who walk after the Spirit, not walk in the Spirit. Okay, so you have to, God, I wish this would quit popping up on my computer. I'm sure the microphone's picking that up. You have to walk after the Spirit to overcome sin so you can get to where you walk in the Spirit. I know that the Word of God says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. But you endeavor to do it, and you're going to see you're going to have a problem doing it because of sin in you. Or once you get to understand that. And see, the bondage of sin and guilt is the hindrance to walking in the Spirit. This same minister would quote this scripture in John 3:17-18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Let me turn this volume down so it won't. That's what my problem is. He that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then he would tell his congregation over and over, you don't believe. You don't believe. So he was ministering condemnation to them. And if he'd have taught them what correctly, Romans 8:1, he would show them a place you could walk no matter what problem you have with sin, what problem you have with unbelief. As long as you're working righteousness, as long as you're endeavoring to keep the words of God, then you don't have to be condemned. All right? Okay, turn to Romans 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, let me just stop here and say this. Here we can see God's plan for us is all the human race to be his children. See, he's chosen us before the foundation of the world that we would be predestined unto the adoption of children. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he has made us accepted in the beloved. See, God's made us accepted in him, and the next verse tells us why, or how. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Okay, let's turn to the third chapter, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, so this just told us, every one of us, God's eternal purpose is to have us all to become his sons and daughters. That's what God wants. That's the purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection. Forgive us and to bring us and make us all sons and daughters. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See the love of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit towards all of us? If you look at that, all these scriptures I just read you and go over them, you'll see the work of the Spirit in there, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, the work of the Father. They're all working towards bringing us to make the family of God. Let's look at Jesus, we being brothers of Jesus. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captive of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Okay, now let's read verse 11, and I'm going to read it out of the International Standard Version. Because both the one who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all have the same Father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. See how God, how the Lord is making us his brother? See how God is making us his children through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, saying, I will declare my name, or thy name, the name of the Father, unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. It is such a wonderful thing what Jesus did for us. He took our punishment, made us righteous, brings us into the relationship with God as our Father, makes us his brother, and says we're accepted in the beloved. You know, one thing I refuse, and that is to let any minister, the devil, or my own heart make this glorious gospel something negative. It's good news. It's glad tidings of great joy to all people. Christ the Lord was born, and he is our Savior. So anytime you begin to think this is not good, that, oh, this is bad or anything, it's not. It's your heart deceiving you, or the devil deceiving you, or some minister can take the word of God and make it a negative thing. Turn to Matthew 1, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Let's read that in the Christian Standard Bible. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, that's Mary, publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. They had started their marriage, but you know, they hadn't come together yet. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now you can imagine if you've made, and I don't know how they did that back in then, back in those days, but they, I guess they had the wedding vows or whatever, but they had not come together and consummated the marriage yet, but they started the marriage. And you said you're ignorant of that. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of things I'm ignorant of in the Bible, but I'm learning. Anyway, could you imagine you started the marriage with a woman and all of a sudden you see she's pregnant? Well, that's the position Joseph was in. And he wanted to put her away. And then, of course, the Lord intervened and saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and now look at this, thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Okay? So, from the very onset of the birth of Christ, it tells us he has come to save us from our sins. And salvation is a process. You can see that all through the scriptures. So whatever sin you have, just keep believing on Jesus and walking with him. And as you walk with him, or let me say it this way, you walk with him as you keep the words of God, and you'll be set free. The law of the Spirit of Christ will set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet, spoken of by the Lord, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and he shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Titus 3:4, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, this last verse tells us how he saved us, by spiritual regeneration. And it's an ongoing spiritual regeneration. When I first got in this walk, I was taught that you receive Jesus and you're born again, got a new heart. But and that's where I said, well, what happened to me? Because I don't have a new heart. I still got an old heart. Well, the old man is the old heart. And he doesn't even start to pass away until you're baptized in water and begin to believe. And then you have to hold fast to the gospel. Anyway, let's read Titus 3:5, the New International Version. He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewing of the Holy Spirit. One translation says through the work of the Spirit in our life. The rebirth and an ongoing work of the Spirit in our life, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I think this would be a good place. Let's go ahead and put a song here. Nothing But the Blood of Jesus by Pamela Pontia.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. pardon. This I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Okay, turn to Romans 5:9. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Okay, so we're all saved by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And that act alone saves us from past, present, and future sin. Okay, by shed blood and then him being raised from the dead. But the root of man's problem is the sin in him or his sinful nature. But the gospel also deals with that. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. How is the body of sin destroyed? Water baptism. That we henceforth should not serve sin. What is the body of sin? The old man. What is the old man? Sin in us. It was dealt with on the cross. And when you're baptized in water, you're receiving what Jesus did on the cross. That's the initial start. This is what gets the ball rolling, that you were crucified with Christ and the passing away of the old man. Verse 7, for he that is dead is free from sin. Okay, but you don't, the old man doesn't pass away overnight. You come out of the water. Then you got to reckon him dead. Then you've got to not yield your members to him. Then the epistles say, put off the old man. But as you believe the gospel and as you make effort not to yield to him, although you're going to find out in the next chapter, 7th chapter, that sin in you that it says, and you know how I know, and there's other places where it shows you, it compares the sin in you as the old man, but it personifies sin in the 7th chapter. It says it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's the old man. Okay, but that old man and that sin in you is called the body of death. He passes away. He's put to death as you continue to believe the gospel and reckon him dead. And then the more he passes away, the more you are freed from sin and you're alive unto God where you can walk in the Spirit of God. Now, there's baby Christians that get in the Spirit and move in the Spirit a little when they first come to God. You can do that, but you will have all kinds of trouble walking there and staying there. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to bring His people into the walk of the Spirit. And the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth chapters show you how to go from the flesh to the Spirit. And it's not that hard to understand, but it's difficult to work out. It is. And it'll take some dedication. It'll take some regular prayer and reading of the Word and desire to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But God will get this worked out in your life if you'll follow what the Word says. Now, turn back to Matthew 6, 9 again. I want to go there again. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay, the kingdom of God is two things I can see in Scripture. One, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the other, the power of God. Kingdom is His everlasting kingdom, and it's the power of God. Let's look at two scriptural references to prove that. 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but power. So the Lord told us to pray, His kingdom come and His will be done. So I believe in this case, the Lord's telling us to pray, the power come forth in our life. Because when the power comes forth, then His will for our life will be done. We'll be able to do the will of God. See, turn to Psalm 110:3. I'll show you that. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the obedience of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou is the dew of thy youth. So, Jesus brings us to the Father. He tells us to honor Him and pray His kingdom or power come forth and then do His will. And then part of our prayer is to have all our needs met. Let's go to that. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, let me tell you something. When the kingdom of God comes forth in your life, your needs will always be met by the Spirit. Now, thank God, you know, in the meantime, and I don't want to confuse this, but we have to work for our money. But the power of God will make sure you always have money. He'll bless you, you'll work, and you'll be prosperous. And then some people do that in the flesh, but they're not always guaranteed that. But when you have the power of God, it's guaranteed. Turn to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As we seek after the power of God and His righteousness, everything we need will be provided. And our wants, for that matter. You know, one thing I stand guard against is people who just want the power in their life or ministry, but lack righteousness. They're not going after the righteous. Righteousness is the nature of God and the will of God. Turn to Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, some people think that's talking against manifesting the power. Well, of course not. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, speak in new tongues. So God wants us to move in the gifts of the Spirit. He wants the power of God in our life. Okay? But the problem with these people, they had power, but they didn't do the will of the Father in heaven. So it's possible to have the power of God working you and still not do the will of God. See, He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And earlier He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So we want to get the power of God, but we also want to get righteousness in our life. We want to get the nature of God and do the will of God. Okay, turn back. You're still in Matthew 7. Go back to 15 verse. Beware of false prophets. And this all fits together. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Okay, these ministers didn't get their hearts changed. Okay, see, inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree is a minister that got his heart changed, and an evil tree didn't get his heart changed, and yet both are out there in the church ministry. Did you know that? And a good tree or minister will get the people's hearts changed that he's ministering through. You know, their hearts. See, part of the spiritual rebirth we can see through the scripture is not you personally believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and putting to practice the word of God in your life, but also the Spirit working through the ministers. And you can see that in the seventh chapter. That's why he tells you to beware of false prophets. And he's telling you to beware of bad trees because they'll bring forth bad fruit. Okay? A good tree will get your heart changed, and it'll also cause you to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. See, it'll get you, and as you get your heart changed, you'll get where the love of God is perfected in you, and then your heart will be controlled by the love of God. Let's look at how the Word of God compares a husband loving his wife to Christ loving the church. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Okay, now this is the washing of the water of the word, and it not only gets us clean, it regenerates us. See, we read that before. Let's read it again. Titus 3:5, New International Version. He saved us, not because of righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal, or the work of the Spirit of God. And you know, the parable of the sower tells us what can hinder this rebirth from working. But that's for another day. I'm not going to get into that. So, let me check for time here. Oh, this is perfect. So, I want to encourage every person out there to believe and to meditate on the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It should be in your prayers. And as you read the Psalms, it's there. And as you read the New Testament out loud, these are prayers. Reading the Word of God out loud is prayers. If you don't know what to pray, read the Word of God out loud. And as you get understanding, you can rightly divide the Word of God. And as you get this gospel in your heart, see, you're also sowing the Word of God in your heart. You're sowing the incorruptible seed in your heart. And it says, he that's born of God overcometh the world. I just gave you the mystery of the kingdom of God right there. So, I want to encourage everyone, put the Word of God in your heart. Pray the Word of God. Pray the Word of God out loud. Practice the Word of God in your life, and you'll see changes. Okay? Now, some bondages take time. Some spirits that have you bound take time to break their power off your soul and off your body. But you keep believing. And I encourage every person to come back to my podcast and keep being ministered to. You know, the Word of God says that we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves, in church service. And you know, if you have a regular church service you go to, thank God. This may be some people's church service. This may be their only. Or maybe you hear it from several different sources. That's between you and God. Thank God. So, I think that's all I've got to say for today. Yes. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.